here. Bird Show.
Kristen, Abby, Cassie, you ever dated a mama's boy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Abby's up.
Have I dated a mama's boy before?
Yep.
They will go to their mom for literally everything. If they don't know what to wear, call on their mom. They don't know what to eat, let's call my mom. Hey, have you met my mom yet? It's so bizarre the attachment that these boys have to their mother.
Is it initially endearing and then becomes problematic and annoying?
It has never once been endearing to me.
No.
I want you to treat your mom with respect. I do not want you to call her up while we're having dinner.
I can honestly say, I've had some horrendous guys in my past, but I never dated a mama's boy.
Okay.
I just dated serial cheaters.
Cass?
Yes, I have dated a mama's boy, and I am so glad that relationship did not work out. She was very nice, but she definitely was... She would have been that mother-in-law, if you know what I mean. Like the quintessential one where you're kind of at odds at. She's the matriarch of the family. Everyone knows it. But I remember, like, he was well in his 20s, like, and she'd walk by, she'd like, pull up your pants. And she'd pull up his pants for him, like, stuff like that. And it was just, I didn't go to church enough. I went every Sunday, but that wasn't enough for her. Yeah, and so it just was one of those, I knew there was no way I was ever going to live up to her expectations, even though she was a nice woman and their relationship was too close. Dodged a bullet.
Well, Kyle here, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser, is married to a mama's boy. And now she's wondering here if she's in the wrong, because she probably knew what she was marrying, but has he gone too far? Hey, Kyle.
Hi.
Hi. All right. You're on The Voice Disguiser. Nobody can recognize your voice. So go ahead, air it out if you need to.
I mean, I don't even honestly know where to start. I mean, mine has never liked me, ever. And the whole church thing, that is definitely a big part of it, for sure. I'm Catholic. They're Christian. I don't think it's a huge difference, but apparently it is. I got a tattoo. I have an autoimmune condition she's not a fan of. I mean, the list is pretty long, but I think it's just because... someone took her away from her. So, but she just, it's just nonstop. And it, unfortunately, over the years, it's just gotten worse. And a lot of it is her influence on my husband. He has really never been, I mean, they're both just very wasteful with money. I knew starting off that she was pretty bad with money, but I didn't realize how bad he was until after we got married. So, that just has been a problem, really, for the last 17 years. And it finally came to a head in January, drew the lines in the sand, but he still struggles. I can tell he still struggles with, you know, her hurting her feelings because we're trying to kind of separate ourselves. We had a therapy session. I didn't go because I didn't have time to go to jail that day. So my parents were there. And his parents were there, and it was pretty much like, you gotta back off, but now I'm pretty sure they hate me, but whatever.
Okay, so
I'm okay with it.
Let me circle back for just 1 second, okay? And
yeah.
I'm just gonna play devil's advocate. So you did know what you were getting into here, though, right? Like, you knew what she was beforehand. You knew? No?
I mean, I knew she was weird, but I didn't know how weird.
Well, let's not focus on her, because she's not changing.
Yeah.
So let's focus on the hubby.
Yeah.
Like, you knew...
Yeah.
You knew what he was, right?
Not all of it. The money, no. The money, I literally, on our wedding night, we left our reception. We were headed to the hotel my parents had gotten for us, and he was like, I gotta stop and deposit some of that wedding gift money, because I'm behind on my car payment. And I was like, oh, okay. And he deposited all that money. And then when we were on our honeymoon, I'm like, can we use some of that money, like, on some of these excursions? He's like, yeah, no. And so it was a very slow progression, finding all his money out for the next, like, couple months after. So I literally had no idea about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom, she wasn't really as bad until we had kids. And then it was really bad.
That's odd because, well, I mean, I guess 50-50, you have a 50-50 shot here, because I know some mother-in-laws, when kids are on the line and you have leverage because you can withhold your kids from the grandparents, it actually improves their behavior, doesn't make it worse.
Sometimes it goes the other way also, where like they raise their kids so well that they're going to show you how to do it and you don't know what you're doing because this is your first four kids. Gosh, I don't really know what to tell you here. Sounds like it's on your husband. Like, you can't do a whole bunch here. Mom's not going to change. Mother-in-law's not going to change here. This has got to be a change with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's part of why we're in therapy.
Yeah. Have you tried to sit him down and genuinely explain to him how much this affects you in the relationship and that you, well, for lack of...
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We've had a lot of conversations about all this. So it's like now this is where I'm kind of like, okay, who's more important in your life? So
yeah,
that's where we're at.
We've had these conversations before, and as much as Mo is a great family dude, you've even said that, like, there's going to be a point where, you know, if you're getting married, mom's going to be number two.
Yeah, I used to think I was a mama's boy until I started to hear the definitions that women have for mama's boy. Mine is very different. I just love my mother dearly, but my mom never intruded upon my relationships in a way where I had to sit her down. But if it came to that, I would have absolutely no problem telling my mom that she needed to fall back. That would be pretty easy for me to do.
Yeah, you have to demand with him, I think, that not I think, you have to demand to be number one. I mean, this is something he should be volunteering.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that he'll start seeing that a little. I don't know. It's like he goes through spells with it. It's like sometimes she annoys him. She drives him crazy, this, that, and the other. But then, you know, then on the flip side, he'll want the kids to go over there, and the kids hate going over there. And it turns into a fight, you know, my poor mom, blah, blah, blah. And so, I don't know. I just know that it's affecting a lot of different things in our relationship. So,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, after 17 years, you finally hit your limit. Yeah. You had a pretty high limit there, lady.
I am too low maintenance is the problem. I'm just a chill person. I'm very opposite of him. So I just want to be happy and the kids to be happy and everyone to be happy. And now it's kind of like, okay.
Look, you've done this for seven. You've done this for 17 years. And somebody gave me a great quote the other day and said, when a woman is fed up, there's no turning back. And it sounds to me like you're reaching that limit right there. I think if I were you, I would fire that warning shot to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's heard it. He's heard it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate you, Kyle.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bird Show.
All red flags look like regular flags through rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. And we are removing those colored glasses from you, our listeners, by telling you the Bird Show's red flags. And you can decide if you would want to date us based on the facts. So this all got started earlier in the week when I brought to the table the fact that I have changed my Bumble prompt. There is something you can do on the dating app Bumble where you can put a question for people to answer so that they can start and make the first move with a conversation. And my prompt was, what are your red flags and what are your green flags? And some of these people's red and green flags were just so bonkers. Like there was one guy really into aliens, but you know what? It can all balance out because he has really great family. Or there was a couple of guys who just really wanted to just turn me off, I think, with their red flags. And I decided to bring it to the table and see if we would date them based off of the findings.
And what's a red flag for one person might be a green flag for another. Guy insists on paying for the very first date. One woman might go, that's fantastic. Another woman would be like, ew, controlling. That's not who I am. So it's all interpretive.
So you know how in the commercial break we found out that you had misunderstood the assignment?
Yeah.
I did too.
Oh, you did?
What?
Okay.
Are me and Mo the only people that did this right?
Okay. Tell us what the assignment was supposed to be, then Kristen and I will tell you what we did.
I'm calling this segment Train Wreck. All aboard!
Okay, what was the assignment supposed to be?
You, Abby.
But, yes,
no, y'all are the one that made the assignment, but it's basically us giving the red flags of each other. And I had to write three red flags about myself, and we all had to submit it to Tommy. This was not my segment. I just opened it.
Well, because it was Cass, you came up with the red flag.
Yes.
Because of your prompt on Bumble. And then Cassie was like, we should do what?
I said that we should all write down our red flags and then guess whose red flag goes to what person.
Now, when we said we should write down our red flags, what we didn't clarify was that is it the red flags for us or the red flags for the people we are dating? Because I did not write, I wrote down my red flags.
Okay.
For the people I go out with.
Yes, that's what we were supposed to do.
That's what I did.
I thought you were supposed to write the red flags about yourself. Like, hey, I'm Cassie. No, I would get way too attached.
Oh. That's not what Kristen's saying.
I wrote the red flags about the people I go out with.
Oh, but you're married.
Yeah, but it's a hypothetical. It's a game.
So you and Bert just didn't want to talk about yourselves. Y'all just wanted to red flag everybody else.
Oh, no, I had talked about myself.
Oh, you did?
I put myself in there also.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But what I did was I wrote red flags for people that would date you guys. Okay.
That was the point. It was personality defining.
Yeah.
The train has left the station. Well, you all have missed it.
Do we not have a segment? It's also personality defining if you're sharing what red flags you find in other people.
Yeah, that's very true.
It goes both ways. I just chose to do it that way.
All right.
But let's just play and see what happens.
I think it would be more fun, actually.
Yes.
While we're doing this, to have callers call in and tell us what they think our red flags would be for dating other people. So they would call up and go, Kristen,
yes,
here's what I hear. I've been listening to you for 10 years. Your red flag for somebody would be you're a people pleaser, even though you're not anymore. You've worked very, very hard on that. You're a people pleaser, and there's no way that I would go out with a people pleaser. Big time red flag.
But can you see how that, the way it's worded, can be taken both ways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I'm too sensitive for this. It's not. I veto this.
All right, everyone just call in with your red flags about Abby.
All right, Tommy, throw them out there, and let's see where this S lands.
I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
Me either, man.
All right, so this person doesn't have a friend group, but has a lot of individual friends that they're close to.
And that's a red flag?
Evidently.
Mo?
I think.
Are we all guessing? Or?
Yes. I think it's Abby.
Tis okay. I don't like this game because we were vulnerable. Y'all get to make up stuff about other people.
Facts.
Abby's trying to throw people off guessing that it was Mo.
Yeah, I got to play the game.
This person tends to need a lot of space and personal time while in a relationship.
Mo. We all say it together.
Mo.
All right. I can't even use Kristen's or Bert.
Just use them.
Doesn't like dogs.
Who doesn't like dogs?
No, that's one of Kristen's red flags for somebody else.
I'm so confused by this game.
Cassie gets it.
Cassie gets it.
This person burps out loud and calls the taste of her burp.
Kristen.
Thank you.
I had that one for you.
Again, it has to be your taste. Some people might find that a red flag. Some people might find that endearing.
Could you imagine being out on a first date with a woman where she just like at the end of the meal just goes, bah! Cheesecake. Like, seriously, this is the best it gets right here.
You don't do that on the first date.
I save that little fun party trick for my closest of friends.
This person tends to analyze everything and overthinks things, which at times can complicate things that are not so complicated.
Ooh, that's a tie between Mo and Abby.
Yeah. I'd give it to Mo. I'd give the edge to Mo.
I'd go Abby.
I'm going to go Abby.
Mo.
I tried to throw y'all off.
You'll be thinking about that all day.
She literally has said she's depressed and not dateable.
Abby. It's Abby.
Let me write that. Abby. I did not write that down.
Who wrote that about you?
What's wrong with you? You didn't tell my people.
That's what I thought the assignment was.
Oh my God.
I should have just let her hang.
Depression is a red flag.
Damn, bro.
When she says I'm depressed and I'm not ready to date a man, I'm not good for a man, that is a huge red flag.
That's not a red flag. That is a stop sign.
It's the Bert Show.
Look at messy Mikey. Not so messy today. Look at him with this new, like, hair cuttery hair. Looks good, man.
I did not like the way this turned out.
Why not?
They gave me the anime look or something. Yeah. It's all long in the front. They feathered this right here. It's all not good. It's been an ego deflator for sure.
It looks like it's a sixth grade picture day.
It is.
You look so adorable. Oh, I just want to like picture man. Little Jake. Oh, look at you.
I'm cute.
Yeah. Freaking adorable. All right, so it's a woman's fault you almost got into a fight?
It's not. It's a man's fault.
It's a man's fault.
And then it's everybody's fault but mine, as usual.
You were just there.
I was just there. I was a bystander, innocent. So we're at the final, what do you call it, formal date night? So, like, it's for my girlfriend's sorority. Mm. Emotional night for everybody. It's the end. It's almost over. So, emotions are running high.
So, it's not the season finale. It's the series finale.
It's the series finale. The drinks are running. It's, like, it's dangerous waters to be in right there.
And, of course, she's very close to all of her sorority sisters, who she will probably never talk to 98% of them ever again.
Absolutely. And thank God for that. No, but basically, one of these girls was talking about her gender class and some study going on in her gender class, talking about like the size of man's brains or something. One of the girl's dates hears this, and he decided, hey, it's the last night. He has little, he's not going to have to pay for whatever he says right now.
Okay, because he knows, like, this is it. Like, yeah, you said, this is the series finale.
So he gets up and he went too hard. I was almost supporting him, but he went too hard. He just said aggressive things, too aggressive. He threw his beer and his plate in the trash and he walked out the door. All the girls are sitting there just mouth agape, just shocked that he said such a thing.
I might have missed what exactly the tension was over. He was insulted.
No, so the girls were talking about this gender study class. Yeah. He got his feathers ruffled, and he...
Because he felt like they were coming down on men.
Yes.
Like they were men bashing.
And he thinks that he knows studies better than them or whatever. Uh-huh. It was stupid.
So they say men have smaller brains, basically.
Yeah.
And then he gets into a fight
and
over it.
And yeah. He shows that he has smaller brains.
Not only does he say it, yeah, he proves it.
Right.
No, we don't. So he gets upset, and but instead of standing there and taking what's coming to him, taking his ear beaten, he walks out the door, leaving me the last date there. I'm the last man there. I'm the last man standing. I'm not the last date. There was a lesbian couple. So it's me and this lesbian lady.
Oh, you're about to lose.
We're sitting there. I'm so quiet. I'm just trying to be nice. This is their night. I'm just being nice, hands clasped in my lap. Just right off the bat, all the hatred that was going towards this guy, mm-hmm. it was like they were staring down the scope trying to find somebody, and there I was. Because
you were the only one with the trouser snake sitting at the table.
That's exactly
trouser snake.
Last peen standing.
Okay. Somebody gonna get the smoke. Yeah.
So basically, the rest of the night, I had to put up with this. It was man hate, and I've not experienced too much of this because I think that most of the time it's normal. If it's a group of girls, it's going to be man hate. If it's a group of guys, they're going to be talking crap about women. Like, that's kind of a normal thing. It's what you do. But whenever you have someone on the opposite team there, you usually tone it down a little bit. They were not toning it down. They toned it up, and it was all directed at me. And to be quite frank, it was brutal. I could only take so much there.
Were you like, ladies, I did not say these things. Mm. Why are you coming after me?
And the pressure is on because he has to defend all humankind. He's the man too, right? You're the involuntary tribute.
Man, I wasn't defending anybody. I was just trying to take it and hoping that it was going to pass through.
Survive in advance.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's normal all the time for a group of girls to hate on men and vice versa, but there's a very easy way for you to defuse the situation immediately. You can say, hey guys, this is kind of feeling like man bashing, but I understand there's a lot of stuff dudes can work on and we can be better as a gender, and there's stuff women can work on too, but why don't you tell me the things that men can do better? And immediately, you're an ally, you're a hero, and they're going to look at you differently, and the man bashing is going to stop because now you're in a position where it starts to go into the hate category, which helps no one. You can say, literally, speaking with hate and vitriol is not going to help anyone, and it's not going to change anything, so how about we have a civil conversation?
Now, if you can pull that off, think of the physical ramifications between you and your date that night also.
I'm just telling you, if you told me that, and I was drunk in 22, it's not
going to happen. That's what I was about to go down. Yeah, I would have just left.
Okay. Different people, because I'd immediately sleep with you.
That's because you went to Emory.
This is The Bird Show.
I think it was the teacher that was teaching kids who are deaf who close their eyes when they don't want to do what the teacher is saying with sign language that prompted us to do this segment again.
Just brilliant, too.
Yes.
Kudos to the students.
Right? Say like, okay, fine. You want to tell me what to do? I'll just close my eyes. And I can't read your sign language. So I'm deaf, so I can't hear you. So there's nothing you can do. I came across these teachers on Instagram. Her name is Alyssa. She's at Teaching in Style 14. And it's her and a fellow colleague sitting there and just running through all of the mean things their high school students have said to them. And the first one was so popular that they were asked to do a second one. So they came back with some more things their students have said to them.
We've heard your requests, so we're back for part two of mean things our high schoolers have said to us. A student asked me and my co-teacher if we have tattoos, and both of us said yes. And then he said, well, I'm not getting one because why would I put a bumper sticker on a Lamborghini? Implying that we were like trash cars.
He's like, you're a Toyota Corolla.
During my first year teaching, I had two boys get in like a physical altercation in my class. And so I like grabbed one of their backpacks and was like, stop. And one of them looked at me and told me to mind my business.
I don't actually think this is necessarily an insult, but the way it was said felt like one. Where a student said, no offense, but you give off Christian girl autumn vibes.
The other day, I went up to a student and I was like, dude, you're always on your phone. Like, you have a problem. And he said, okay, boomer.
These girls are like 30.
A really tall student stood over me and said, are you done growing? I'm 30. So.
It's really awesome. I came to school wearing like these really cute black overalls and a beanie, and I was like walking out on campus, and a student stopped me and yelled, you look like a Smurfette.
I struggle to reach the smart screen in my classroom because I'm so short. And so one time when I was trying to get to the top to like take notes, I was, you know, suffering. And my student said afterwards, you need to get a handle on this. That was really embarrassing to watch.
I was telling one of my classes that I was in a sorority in college. And a girl was like, oh, like, was it a weird one?
What does that mean?
Because you don't give sorority. And I was like, it was weird. But again, only I'm allowed to say that.
Every day, harsh. High school students are coming in and just, you know, trying to take the teachers down a peg or two.
No filter. Yeah, the fact that you guys can go, that they can go in there, and what are the repercussions? No problem.
All right, Kristen, let me ask you a question. If you lived in the same city as your brother and your mother, Cassie, you can get in on this also. would they charge you when you ask them to watch Jimmer?
If it was like to babysit here or there for a night out, no. But if it was like a consistent nanny kind of thing, like watching him every single day, then yes, I would pay them.
So if it was like weekly and you were asking your mom to watch Jimmer,
yes.
You would pay?
Yes, because, I mean, she's got health insurance that she needs to pay for. Like, she's spending her time doing that instead of doing something else to bring in some kind of income. So I would supplement her for that.
How about you, Cass?
Yeah, same. If we're for Hazel and Max, if it's like a night out, I kind of feel like family and friends, not always friends, but like Kristen's watched Hazel and Max for me so that my husband and I could go have like a dinner out. But if it's a consistent basis, and this is what my friends do too, they'll pay their parents to nanny on a daily basis because at that point, it's not like a favor, it's a job.
Okay. All right, so if you guys want to get in on this, 1-855-BIRCHOW, here's the email. Yo, Bircho. I don't know if I should be offended by this or not, my parents and sister charge me when they watch my son. Evan is 4 years old. My parents are fantastic in all capital letters, so she really means it. She says they're great, fantastic grandparents. I should also mention that they are filthy rich. She says they live on 75 acres of land outside of Nashville. My sister married very well, like very well, she says. She doesn't need the money. They chose not to have kids, so she has time and money. So why do both capital letters charge me when I ask them to watch Evan? Is this normal? My husband and I make considerably less than anybody else in the family. Does anybody have relatives that charge to watch their kids? She says, it's kind of driving me crazy. 1-855-BIRCHELL.
Well, again, if it's like just a babysitting gig here or there, and that's how they're living at the moment, then I do find that odd. But just because somebody doesn't have kids doesn't mean your time is more valuable than theirs. Like, yes, she's chosen not to have kids, but her time is still valuable to do what she wants to do with it, even though there's not kids taking up that time, if that makes sense.
She chose not to have kids, so you had kids, and now you expect her to use your time watching your kids.
That's not really fair to put on, you know, just because somebody else has different priorities than you, and all priorities are fine priorities. So, and I don't think it really matters. Again, if it's a consistent thing every day, if you're spending gas money to pick them up from somewhere, if you're, you know, feeding them, et cetera, like there's, you know, some minor expenses involved there. But I don't think it's fair to expect your family to watch your kid for free just because they're well off, if it's on a consistent basis.
I completely agree. I think it has nothing to do with the time or the money. If it's consistent, then either way, I completely understand them charging. If it was a one-off thing, then yeah, I feel like they shouldn't charge to watch family. No. But the money and the time should have absolutely nothing to do with whether or not they charge.
Well, I actually disagree with you guys. I'm sorry, Abby. I keep cutting you off.
Well, I was just going to say, well, if they make considerably more money, I think we're just finding out that rich people become rich for a reason. Clearly.
And stay rich for a reason.
They're entrepreneurs. They're figuring out how to get cash any way they can. And I think maybe because I have babysat for free so many times for family that I couldn't picture charging them for watching my kids or vice versa. But at the end of the day, like if it's a consistent thing and if it's like a nannying type job where you're constantly looking after them, I feel like your time is valuable and you should also get compensated for that.
I expect a deal. I don't expect to be paying premier prices like you would at a daycare. I think we're going to cut one incredible deal, but I will compensate you. Yeah.
I'm going to go against the rest of the show on this. This would bother me. If my parents were doing that well, they were living on like this huge farm, they're retired, I'm the one that's struggling in the family while her sister is not. I think I would be a little bit upset about this. I'd be like, help me out here. We're family.
Yeah, because how much money are you really making off babysitting anyway? Like, let's say they make a considerable amount more money, like multiple six figures, and you guys are sharing a family of four on one salary. It does feel a little bit like highway robbery. Like, what, you're going to make me give you $200 for the weekend, even though you're living in a gated community and we're just going by paycheck to paycheck?
But at the same time, it was your choice to have the family. And so, you know, I think if you went to your family and had a conversation like, hey, things are really tight right now. And that's a hard conversation to have. But if you are open about your financial struggles, then I think your family still charging you is kind of a rude move. Like, that's not what family does. But if you're not open about that, they absolutely do not owe you anything to help you maintain your family. Would it be nice? Yes. Does it take a village? Hell yes, it does. But that doesn't mean anyone owes it to you just because you had kids.
Hey, Winnie, thanks so much for joining the conversation. Does your family charge you to watch your kids?
Yes. Like, if you didn't give my mom, like, you know, throw her some coins, and I'm Haitian. So I think it's like a Haitian thing because when I'm around the Black American families, they don't be doing that. You can drop your kids off and they can, you know, have 15 kids and drop all of them off. But the Haitian culture, you gotta throw them some coins.
That's facts. Cause
we'll be well fed.
I watched all three of my sisters for over a decade. My parents showed me at least $1.2 million by this point.
Are you Haitian?
No.
Okay.
The black family, she said, don't pay. That's the problem. My parents never paid me to watch
it. Hey, Cassie, what last call. So how did you get compensated to watch your sister's kids?
So my mom would pay me because I would watch them 3 days out of the week. I'd get up with them every morning while my sister and her husband would get ready for work. And I'd stay at her house till about three when my brother-in-law came home. But my mom would probably throw like $100, $150 on the table just for doing something kind, because I wasn't asking for anything. I wanted to help out. It's our only, like, it was my mom's only grandson. It's my only nephew. So he's like the miracle child that we finally got. And so out of the kindness of my heart, I never asked for money. I just wanted to spend time with my nephew. But my mom, just because I was helping my sister out, she would have paid me under the table. My sister had no idea.
See, your kindness paid because you didn't ask for it. Mom slipped you some coins underneath the table.
Exactly. Family matters.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to double down with this caller. If the family is that rich, I'm going to charge my mom to watch my kid. Yep, if they're that rich and they are living on it, you want to see your kid, you have to pay me $100.
Good luck with that.
This is The Burt Show.
So let me vent for just 1 second on something that happened to me yesterday. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that when cars were first manufactured, that they put a car horn on there for emergency situations, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody's about to run into you or they don't see you, you use your car horn to go, hey, don't hit me, right? All right. So that's what they're supposed to be there for. Now we know there's the, hey, don't hit me horn. And we also know there's the, hey, F you horn. Like if you're merging, somebody's really, when they honk at you, there's no danger there. They're just pissed. So they hit the horn, which is really the F you horn. Like, you just cut me off.
I did that the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, because the guy, I mean, no, he wasn't going to hit me. But still, he was supposed to wait. It was my turn to go and to get, like, I was in my lane, and he came over, and he was out of pocket, man.
Yep. Yeah, we've all been there before where there really is no danger, but it's just kind of, it's kind of a middle finger.
Yeah,
for sure. Actually, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Right? Then you got the car horn now that it's kind of an infuriating one, but it is needed when you're behind somebody at a light and clearly they are on their phone. You want to go. They're not doing anything. All the cars in front of them are taking off. So you give them the little, hey, it just changed.
But that's just a little dupe.
That's a little dupe.
The distracted driver dupe.
Yep.
Little beep beep.
Beep beep. Yep.
All right. I was the victim of horn abuse yesterday.
No.
Yep. I want to set the record straight here because I am totally in the right and everybody behind me was totally in the wrong. So 100%. If you guys are the jury, this will be unanimous. So I went yesterday to a sleep disorder clinic. I've noticed that I'm not getting any deep sleep and I'm tired all the time. And this has been going on for, let's see, 20 years.
It correlates with your gig in morning radio.
Yep. Right. But even then, you should be able to, like, when you go to sleep, you should be able to get into a cycle of sleep where your body is starting to heal itself. And I don't hardly get into that. So I'm sore a lot and I'm tired a lot. So I'm getting it taken care of. Anyway, so I go to this clinic yesterday that is in one of those medical, it's like a whole bunch of different buildings,
like, but they're all,
what's that?
Like an outlet?
I wouldn't call it an outlet. What am I looking for?
Medical complex?
A complex, yeah. There's a bunch of different buildings.
And but, they're like labeled A, B, C, D.
That's exactly what it was.
And you got to figure out which one you're going to.
That's exactly what it was. But all the cars have to filter through the, to get your ticket so you can park and you're going to pay on the way out, right? And the arm goes up, arm goes down, right?
Which drives me crazy that you have to pay to see a doctor. You know what I'm saying? And that's every single doctor's appointment.
I know. It seems like everybody in this country is trying to make money.
Even Jeff Bezos, who's got like billions.
Right. So I go in, I check in, arm goes up, arm goes down. I park my truck. I go in. I'm coming back out. Now I got to pay on the way out. As I'm paying on the way out, I give it my ticket and I give it my credit card and nothing.
Mm.
There's nothing. The arm's not going up. Mm. All right. I do it again. Arm's not going up. Do it again. Arm's not going up. Now behind me, a line starts to form.
Oh, that's. Do you start feeling the heat underneath the collar?
Oh, no. Starting to feel the heat.
You're that guy.
Right. Yeah. 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 cars behind me, right? So now I have to hit the button where you're asking for the attendant to help you out.
Oh, man.
All right. So I hit the button. Attendant comes on who doesn't speak great English.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Perfect.
Either way, I can understand what she's saying. She's telling me to try it again and again and again. And all these cars are behind me, right?
Wow.
The first car starts honking at me.
Are you serious?
And it begins.
Yes.
What did they expect you to do?
Kristen, that's why I'm saying this is going to be unanimous. Okay. So I can barely hear the instructions from the person that that hardly speaks English because the horn behind me now, she's pissed. But car one begets car number two honking, which begets car number three honking at me also.
You have a symphony of horns?
I have a symphony of horns behind me, and I've got my hands in the air now, like, what do you want me to do? You think I want to be here? And it's going on and on and on for what felt like 15 minutes. I know it was only like 2 or 3, but if you're in that situation, the guy in the car has nothing to do with it at all. Like, I didn't have anything better to do with my time.
But to hold people up.
What was the problem?
I don't know what the problem was because she just kept telling me to put it in and take it out, put it in and take it out. And finally, like on the 6th time, it worked.
Really?
But at that point, I have 6 people behind me thinking I'm the problem. Leave me alone.
Nothing I can do. Would you lie if it meant that you would get to keep your job?
Well, it depends on how big the lie is. Is it a little lie? Is it a medium-sized lie? Is it a big lie? Is it a gigantic lie?
That's the thing about lies, though, right? Like, sometimes it starts off as what's a small lie that you think won't really amount to much, and then it just kind of tumbles and tumbles into a bigger lie and a bigger lie.
It's like the snowball that starts rolling down the hill, and it just keeps on picking up more snow before you know it. You're in an avalanche, and now you're completely just buried.
Just a ball of lies.
Yeah.
And that's what one of my friends was afraid of. And I feel for her because she was in such a tight spot. And I was like, wow, I really don't know what I would do. Because her boss came to her and essentially what he was asking her to do was to lie so that the company wouldn't get in as much trouble as they would. And it would have started with him, to which he didn't want that to be the case. So he came to her one day and something happened with the numbers to where I guess he should have had something in at a certain time and it wasn't. It was a little late. And so that caused the people who needed to respond to it to be a little late. And then it was just, I guess, a hill of errors that were going to happen. So he went to her and asked if he would say that he turned it in quicker than he actually did, would she back him on it? And he asked her, he didn't ask her in writing. He asked her person to person, which I guess because he didn't want that to be on paper and he wanted to get ahead of it. So he asked her to do it on a Friday. She came to me over the weekend with this information and was like, essentially, my boss wants me to lie for him. Now, what I understand of it, if she went through with the lie, it's possible no one will ever know. You'll never know it happened. It'll never really be a thing. But she'll have to live with the fact that she lied morally. She has to go into an office, into a meeting with clients and with other people who are at the job, and she has to say that something that essentially did not happen happened in order to protect her boss. That was the weekend that she was sitting. That was the decision that she was sitting on over the weekend. If you don't lie, then obviously you feel like you're doing the right thing and you also are saving yourself in case the lie comes back to haunt you. But at the same time, you're probably not getting on the good side of your boss. So she came to me like, what would you do and what do you think I should do? So before I give you ladies the results, what would y'all do in a situation like that?
Call out sick.
I mean,
for the rest of life.
That's called quitting your job. man, what a crappy position for the boss to put her in, man.
Right.
So again, he just wants her to fib on when he turns something in.
Right.
Is there any like cost or value associated with it? Like, is it going to cost someone money?
It's going to cost the company money in the end because they didn't get it in on time now. But if they can convince the clients that it wasn't their fault, somehow there was something else, it wasn't a human error that caused this delay, then they won't lose any money. But if they are able to prove that it was a human error, then the company will indeed lose money.
I would do one of these. As far as I know, he submitted it like you just present the information that you think you know. So I'm not presenting it as fact. Okay, I'm presenting what I think I know.
Well, it's a way to dress the lie.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to find a new truce. My husband should be very scared. No. Yeah. I would, if they, from my understanding, I'd be like, from my understanding, this was turned in at this time. And that kind of gives you like a little bit of an out if anything does go south.
Because you just said it was your understanding. It was factual.
Yeah, it was my understanding that this was turned in on blank.
See, now, I told her, which this didn't really help her, but I don't understand why the boss didn't just go to her and pretend as if that was his truth.
Yeah.
Don't tell her it's a lie.
That's the weird thing to me, like, roping her into the lie as well, unless she's supposed to be a part of that process or something like that. But that's what's strange. Just, he should just lie and not pull anyone in, because now you got a witness.
Exactly. So,
can I get a witness?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, when she came to me, I told her, you should go with your gut. I feel like that's a decision you have to make. I don't know
that
your boss.
That helps nobody, Mo.
I know, but
that's
I don't know.
That's such a weak response.
I don't know how bad you need this job. Mm. I don't know your relationship with your boss. I don't know how important that relationship is. There are a lot of factors that you just don't know when people come to you for advice in their life, which is why I hate when people come to me for advice in their life. But I would really do what my gut told me to do, because your gut normally leans one way or the other.
I don't know that I could lie.
I don't think I could either.
But I would try and check out of the conversation somehow, or miss the meeting, or like Kristen's, like my understanding thing. But I don't think I could just flat out lie like that to somebody's face.
I wouldn't be able to say, oh yeah, he turned it in. But uh-huh. Like, no, I wouldn't. Like, my understanding is it got turned in blank. Like, that's what I thought.
Not my department.
No, nothing of it. Yeah.
Well, what did she do?
So, well, she decided not to lie.
She didn't.
She did not lie. She went with her gut, which was telling her, which I agreed with. She's like, listen, if I'm going to get in trouble, I want to get in trouble because of something I did, not because of something someone asked me to do. Mm. So ultimately, she didn't want to stand on the fact that she was lying. So she went in there and she told the truth. And once the meeting was over, the rest of the day, he did not speak to her. So she didn't know what was going to come of it. But she has a meeting coming up with just her and the boss. And she has to go into the meeting and figure out what is next.
Now, this is going to be interesting, because if he fires her or does any kind of retaliation, I feel like she would have a case at least with HR to be like, yo, he asked me to lie. Unfortunately, she can't prove it, though, because he didn't put it in writing.
Exactly.
But at the same time, that is what actually happened. And I'm sure if they investigate, they'll be able to find that out.
I would think so.
I don't know. If it's not in writing, it's just a he said, like, he said versus she said.
And he's got all the power.
And he's the boss.
Yep.
It's a really crappy situation.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, hello, Captain Obvious.
She needs... Here's what I would do now. I would go to HR now before that meeting and beat the punch and be like, yo, he told me I was put in a really uncomfortable situation. What can we do so this never happens again? I never want to be asked to lie to a client. I think it's unethical or whatever. And then it's on record with HR. Ooh. So then when the meeting comes, if anything happens, she's already reported it to HR. So now it's still he said, she said.
Yeah.
But because she's like ahead of it, she might actually come out looking better.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, if she feels like retaliation is right around the corner, that's a really good idea to go to HR and get it documented that you said this is what happened.
And then she can take his job when he gets fired.
Yay!
Promotion!
Listen, it's The Bert Show.